In Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15, here is a passage that probably most of us, if someone were to begin the passage, would be able to complete it. But Joshua is speaking here to the children of Israel, and they have not served God as they should. They served other gods that were not the true God. And he says to them in verse 15, "And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve." Now, I want to stop there for just a minute. Look at what he says to start with. If it seems evil to you to serve the Lord. Again, they had not been faithful to God. There were people who still were failing to serve God. Choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. He says there's a choice that you need to make, and he's saying you need to make that choice. You choose today. He goes on and he says, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river are the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Let me just begin by making this statement, and that is, when we become Christians, or we're considering becoming Christians, we are choosing to serve the Lord. It's a voluntary thing that we do. And really what brought about this lesson, and in studying with different ones, somehow, I don't know if I've just failed to communicate as well as I should, but I want, when we leave tonight, I want us to understand and have in our minds fully the fact that there are expectations that God has for us when we become His children. And I mean by that, when we obey the gospel, we are saved. But that is the beginning of our spiritual life. That's not the completion of our spiritual life. And when we obey the gospel, we are choosing to serve God. And what I want to do this evening is just to look at about eight different passages. And we're going to just open our Bibles, and you might turn to Matthew chapter 6. And I'll have the scripture reference on the screen, but I'm going to be reading from the New Testament tonight as we study. If it's not easy for you to turn, I think if you listen, you'll be able to follow quite easily as well. I want us to listen as Jesus tells us what's involved in serving Him, in serving God. The first passage, as I've said, is in Matthew chapter 6. Here in this section of writing, Jesus is teaching or preaching in the Sermon on the Mount. There are just so many wonderful things that he has to say. Everything that he says is wonderful, but I'm going to be selective as we go throughout the book of Matthew, at least partially through the book of Matthew, just to highlight some of the things that Jesus says we have to be aware of in order to serve Him in an acceptable way. In verse 24, Jesus says, "No one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." The first thing that we need to understand from this passage as we go through the book of Matthew is the fact that when we choose to serve God, man must choose to serve one master. You know, that's an easy statement to read. And I think it's probably an easy statement if we want to try to understand it, to understand it. But sometimes in applying that, it may become somewhat difficult. And Jesus, what he says prior to that, in verse 22, "The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness?" And the idea, as I understand, Jesus is saying we have to be single-visioned in serving Him. We have to have our eye on the goal, not goals, but our eye on the goal. And then he says, verse 24, "No one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon, or God and material wealth, God and material possessions. And how that so much applies to 2016 in Decatur, Alabama, in the United States of America. It was interesting. This happens about every Sunday morning when we get up to come to services. But you see people, and they may be out in the yard working. They may be walking. They may be getting their boat ready to go. And Ava said, wouldn't it be nice if we had two? Well, she said, wouldn't it be nice if we had two Saturdays? I said, that would be nice if we had two Saturdays. And then I said, you know, to a lot of people, the Lord's Day is like a Saturday to them. It's not different from any other day. And what they do on the Lord's Day and on other days is they serve themselves. They serve their material possessions. They serve, and you just name it. And what God is saying is, when you choose to become my child, what is expected of you and what you have to understand is you must serve one. Can't serve two. No need to even try. We cannot serve two masters, Jesus says. And he tells us if we try to do that, we'll hate one and love the other, or we'll hold to the one and despise the other. And so, as his children, what we have to be reminded of constantly is the fact that we must choose to serve God, one master. Let's continue in that same chapter, and we'll go down to verse 33. And we mentioned this in our lesson this morning, but I do want to read what Jesus says. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. The person who chooses to serve God, and that's us, we must choose to seek first the kingdom of God. I was teaching this lesson with some people I'm studying with, and I just said, you know, as a math teacher, there are things there in priority. There's first, and then there's a nice would ask. There's second, and then there's third, and then there's fourth. If we're to have one thing first, what else can be up there in that first position? Well, it can't be. If we're to seek first the kingdom of God, then if I'm seeking other things, it has to fall. Those other things have to fall below first. It might be second or third or fourth. And Jesus says that what we want to make sure that we're doing is that we're seeking first the kingdom and his righteousness. First and foremost, what we want to do is to be right with God. And to do that, we are to seek first his kingdom. It is to be first in our lives. Look at chapter 7. Again, this is the same sermon that Jesus is preaching. Verse 21 beginning, Jesus says, and he's concluding the sermon, he says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonderful works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. I want to stop right there. We're going to read the remainder of Jesus' sermon in just a minute. But the point that we want to make and that Jesus is teaching is that when we become his child, we must choose to do the will of the Father. One of the people in the class this past week said, well, that sounds to me like that Jesus is saying it's more than just claiming or saying, Lord, Lord. It's about doing what the Lord says. That is exactly right. We must do the will of the Father who is in heaven. And the sad thing, as you look at that verses 22 and 23, here is the judgment scene picture, and there are people before Jesus, or they will be before Jesus, and they will say, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out devils in your name, and done many wonderful works in your name? We did these things in your name." And Jesus' response will be, "I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." Unless we're doing the will of the Father, what we're practicing is lawlessness. Now, continuing in verse 24, Jesus says, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." And the lesson is the same. It's not a matter of just hearing. And when I talk about hearing audibly, it's not a matter of just hearing. It's not a matter of hearing from the standpoint of understanding. The difference in the wise man and the foolish man was the wise man, he did what he was instructed to do. He heard the sayings of Jesus and he did them. Let's never allow ourselves to get caught up in what sometimes seems like a frenzy in the religious world. "Well, I know God would be pleased with this. I'm just sure." What do you mean you're opposed to this? "I know God." God speaks to us through His Son. This is how we know His will. This is where we'll find it, if it's to be found, spoken from God or by God. And this is what we must do. Anything more, anything less, anything altered in any way is not the Father's will. And when we decide to follow our Lord, we are choosing, we must choose to do the will of the Father, to be pleasing to Him. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 10. In Matthew chapter 10, Jesus makes this statement beginning with verse 28. We'll read down through verse 31. Matthew 10, verse 28. "And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. But rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin? And not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows." Jesus says there that we have to choose to fear God. Now that word fear there carries with it the idea of being in awe, having reverence for, revering God. And if we understand who God is, then we'll have no problem fearing Him, reverencing Him. Jesus says, man can kill your body. But He says, I can kill your body and your soul. And there is nothing more precious than the soul of man. And that is why we must give reverence. We must be in awe of God. Our attitude must be, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. You tell me what to do, and I will do it, whatever it is. Because you are God Almighty. You have created everything. You sustain everything. We're going to stand one day and give an account. You have prepared eternity, heaven, for those who are obedient to you. And we are to fear God. And that's a choice that we make. All of these things we're talking about, it's a choice that we make. the next passage is in Matthew chapter 10, verses 34 through 39. We're going to skip 32 and 33, but let's pick up with verse 34. Here Jesus says this, "Do not think that I have come to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foe will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find." Man must choose to love God above all others. All others. If we love our father or our mother more than Christ, we're not worthy. If we love our children more than Christ, we're not worthy. Now, in this passage, he's not saying hate. He says in another passage, hate father and mother. He says, if you love your father or mother more than me, you're not worthy of me. Somebody says, well, how do you do that? Well, you choose to. You understand again who God is. And he's not saying that we should despise our parents or our children. He's saying where a choice has to be made, if a choice has to be made, we must choose to love God. I'm going to tell you, that's a strong statement. But that's exactly what is involved in serving God. And he says, if we do otherwise, then we're not worthy. I want to use an illustration from college football. I've listened to the refs this year, and when especially this targeting penalty that they call, and if they find that a player is guilty of targeting after reviewing it, the referees that I've listened to, they said this, number so-and-so, he has disqualified himself. I like that terminology. He has disqualified himself. Now, I say that to say that if I love my father or mother or my children more than God, then I have made myself not worthy. I've done that. My God. I have done that. And I must choose to love God above all others. Look at Matthew chapter 13. I want to read verses 3 through 6 to begin with. Here we have the parable of the sower, and then I'm going to allude to what Luke says, but I want to read here in Matthew chapter 13, verses 3 through 6. "Behold, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away." And he goes on and he tells the rest of the parable. But I want to drop down to verse 18. Here is the explanation. "Therefore hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful." All of those types of soil are hearts of individual. They're lacking. But when he gets to verse 23, he says, but he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. I don't have Luke 8, verse 15 up here, but when you turn to Luke's account, what Luke says is, he talks about this good ground, the one who has an honest and good heart. That is the one who hears, who brings forth fruit. Man must choose to have an honest and good heart. We have to be honest with ourselves. We have to be honest with God and with what His Word teaches. And unless we have an honest and good heart, the Word will not produce in our hearts as God has designed for it to do. And we choose either to have an honest and good heart or we choose not to have an honest and good heart. Sometimes I've read passages with people and tried to just read and say, do you understand? Well, I really don't understand. Try to explain. Well, I just don't see it that way. And I tried differently. Well, I just don't see it that way. And finally, what I determined is this. They just don't see it that way. Not because they can't, but sometimes, and what we see here, sometimes the hearts of individuals, and it can be me if I'm not careful, it can keep us from letting the Word penetrate and produce as God intends for it to do. We must have honest and good hearts in order to serve God and for Him to be pleased with us. Turn to Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 through 26. We'll look at this passage and then one other, and then we'll make some closing remarks. But in Matthew chapter 16, in verse 24, again, here is what Jesus taught. Then said He to His disciples, if anyone desires to come after Me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow Me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for My sake will find it. For what is a man profited if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Jesus says there that we have to choose to deny ourselves. In the same study this past week, We were talking about this, and one of the people said, you know, to me, that's probably one of the hardest things to do. That may be true of a lot of us. The first thing we have to do, or one of the things that we have to do if we're going to follow Jesus, He says, is we have to deny ourselves. And there's just a lot of things we could say about that. We have to be humble. If we're not humble, we're not going to deny ourselves. We have to understand we don't know everything. We can't figure everything out on our own. And that's not to say that a person might not be intelligent, might not be bright, might not be witty, but when we think about God and His ways and God's thoughts and man's thoughts, they're not on the same stratosphere, on the same line, even anywhere close. And in order to serve God, we have to choose to deny ourselves. We just have to empty ourselves. And then be like a sponge, just soaking up everything that we can find in God's Word and making that a part of our life. Jesus goes on and He says there in verse 25, if we desire to save our own lives, we'll lose it. Whoever loses his life for My sake will find it. We just give it up. We give it up. That is, we give up trying to figure it out and we follow whatever God instructs us to do. And that's how we save our life. We have to lose our lives to save it. And if we're trying to figure it out, we'll lose our life. And then Matthew chapter 22, and this kind of culminates everything that we've been saying. Jesus here in Matthew 22, verse 37, he's talking to the Pharisees and the scribes, and then a particular lawyer asked Jesus a question. And the question that he asked in verse 36 is, which is the great commandment in the law? And here's Jesus' response to him, beginning with verse 37. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Jesus says that man must choose to love God with his all. He says, with all of his heart. Strong says the word heart used here is the thoughts or feelings, the mind. He says, with all of your soul. Strong says that's breath. By implication, spirit. I think back to Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, after God had created man from the dust of the earth, he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Here's the idea. God giving life, the Spirit, with our mind. Strong says that's deep thought, the faculty, mind or its disposition. By implication, this exercise, imagination, mind, understanding. We're to love God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind. And Luke adds to that in his account, with all of our strength. And that is just forcefulness, ability, might, power, strength. All what that says is this, we're to love God with everything we have. We're to love Him with our all. And we understand that. We understand that in other areas of life. If you're on the job and you're either working for someone or working with someone or someone's working under you, and you say, they just give their all. We know what that means, doesn't it? They're into what they're doing. They're trying to do the very best they can. They're putting forth effort. We know that in relation to ball playing. Here's a player and someone that he gives his all out there on the field, whatever he may be doing. We understand that. And that's what the Lord says we have to do. We have to love Him with all of our mind, heart, soul, and strength. Giving our all. That's what's involved in serving the Lord. And again, that's what the Lord says. That's the first and great commandment. And the second is loving our neighbors as ourselves. But we must give our all. The only way man can serve the Lord is deciding to. Making up one's mind, making a commitment, and keeping that commitment. And we understand that, don't we? The only way we can serve the Lord is by deciding to. It's a choice that we make. And once we make that choice, once we make up our mind, we make that commitment, then it's a matter of us remaining faithful to that commitment. In Luke chapter 13, verse 24, Jesus says, strive to enter in through the narrow gate, for many, I say to you, will seek to enter and will not be able. I have that word strive underlined. If you look up that word strive and you see the Greek word from which it is derived, it's spelled in English A-G-O-N-I-Z-O-M-A-I. I don't know how to pronounce it, but I can look it up and I can tell you how to spell it. And you look at that word, that Greek word from which strive comes and the English spelling, and then You eliminate the O-M-A-I and you add an E to it and you see where we get one of our words. Agonize. Jesus says, agonize to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Or we get the word agony. That's what's involved in serving God, in entering into the kingdom. We are striving, we're agonizing, we're doing whatever's necessary. Sometimes it may not be pleasant. We may have to push ourselves. We will have to push ourselves. Because that's what's involved in striving to serve the Lord. And what we may find at times in our lives is that we'll have to repent. Let me rephrase it. We will find times in our lives when we have to repent. And we may have to recommit ourselves. I remind you, when Jesus was walking along the seashore and He sees Peter and Andrew and James and John, and He says to Peter and Andrew, you come and follow Me. And you know what the Bible says they did? It says they left and they followed Him. Same with James and John. They just left and they went to follow. But when you come to the end of John chapter 21, and this is probably 3 years or more later, Jesus is talking to Peter, and Peter has denied Him. And three different times, Jesus asked Peter, do you love Me? And Peter says, Lord, You know that I do. And the third time, the Bible says he was grieved. And you know what Jesus told him after that third time? He said, Peter, follow Me. And what that tells me is that what I'll have to do all through my life is I'll have to look at what I'm doing and where I am. And I may need to make up my mind afresh. I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to do as He would have. And I don't mean that we're out here somewhere out in left field. We just left the Lord. I'm just saying committing ourselves again to following Jesus. I want to end with this statement. I want us to be sure to catch this. We can and we must make up our minds to be faithful to Christ. And we too can receive the crown of life. The Lord is not asking us to do something that we can't do. As a matter of fact, we probably can find areas in our life where we're doing exactly what we've said. Maybe it's not a spiritual application, but we know what's involved and we're willing to do whatever it takes. And that's exactly the attitude we have to have when it comes to serving the Lord. We can make up our minds to be faithful to Christ. Two passages, Revelation chapter 7, verse 10. Jesus says, do not fear any of those things which you're about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested and you will have tribulation 10 days. But he says to those Christians, be faithful until death and I will give you the crown of life. What it takes is us determining, making up our minds, committing our lives to being faithful until we die. Whether that's death through persecution, whether that's death through natural causes, it really doesn't matter. We're determining we're going to be faithful. And the Lord says, I'll give you the crown of life. And we see Paul as he did that very thing in 2 Timothy chapter 4, as he's coming to the end of his life, verse 6, as he's writing to Timothy, he says, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And if he stopped there, then there might be a little question in my mind. But he goes on and he says, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. That's you and that's me. We can have the reward just as Paul was looking forward to that reward by remaining faithful to the Lord. Those are some things that Jesus tells us is involved in serving Him, in following Him. And again, it's a choice that we make. And let's make up our minds with the help of God Almighty and with His Son Jesus Christ. Let's choose to serve Him faithfully. And one day, we too will receive the crown of life. May God bless us and help us as we strive to do His will.